with your car, you don't know what's written till you get there and they tell you what's written. And so that's why I'm here today. I'm the service guy that came to help you out, to let you know that it's already done. Can I say it like this? It's already did. Come on and shout hallelujah. I came to let you know that you ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to come out your pocket. You ain't got, I wish I had somebody here. Oh, you ain't got to come out $99.99 to get this blessing. But the Lord said, I'll bless you with a blessing that no man can curse. I wish I had somebody here that was in the house of God today that realized God blessed you even if you didn't give. God bless you even if you, I wish I had somebody that he already said, I ain't really after your money, but I really want your heart. I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Somebody say yes in here and give God some praise. I wish I had somebody now that said it's contained in the scripture. But look at verse number 7. He said, believe that he is precious. But before I get to that, he said, he shall not be confounded. He said, in other words, God won't disappoint you because of what he's written. God won't let you down because of what he said. And his word is on the line. And he said in his word that I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I gotta repent. All I'm telling you is that if God said it, just believe it. It's gonna be all right. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, it's gonna be all right. If God said it, go to sleep. If God said it, let's go eat. If God said it, do your dance. If God said it, jump for joy and praise him and let him know, I thank you, Lord, that it's already all right. Say yeah. Say yes in here. I'm trying to live up to godly expectations. But when I realize what is said in verse 8, he said it's a stumbling block, a rock of offense, those that stumble at the word. What is he talking about? He's talking about the same folks, you know, the naysayers and the gainsayers, the folks that said, oh, let you talking, you better go do something else. Oh, you, I know you say you believe the word, but I don't believe it for you. He says, so what if some don't believe? Paul said, does that make the word of God none effect? God forbid. So what if they don't believe what you said that you believe? But it's been written in the word. All you got to do is hold on to God's unchanging hand. Forgetting those things which are behind me. Forgetting those people. Forgetting what they said. Forgetting what they did. Forgetting how they handled you. Forgetting how you were sick because of your worrying.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Hogan Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I want to just lift out verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I won't be long before you this morning. But the word of the Lord says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, and despised the shame. Why? And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You may be seated. What he did, my brothers and sisters, is enough for us to keep our focus on Jesus. I just want to talk a few minutes about keeping your focus on Jesus. One of the things that the writer of the Hebrew challenges us to do is to continue looking at Jesus. Why? Because when you take your eye off of Jesus and put it on man, it's a good way for you to be disappointed, let down, humiliated, disappointed, and many other things. But Jesus will never fail you. And one of the things that I think is so important is understanding that as believers, as Christians, as children of the Most High God, our responsibility is not so much to gaze at all that's going on in the world, but to recognize that we are children of the Most High God, and our focus should be on our elder brother who has given us all that is necessary to function and flow in this world to represent him and our Heavenly Father. It's important to understand that when we lose sight of Jesus, we lose sight of everything that he desires us to be, to do, and to have. There's so many saints in the house of God today, and it's sad to say that, but their focus is everywhere but on Jesus. Everywhere but on the Lord. It's they got their minds on this and they got their minds on that. They've got their minds everywhere but on the word, the will, and the way of God. The writer calls them busybodies in other men's affairs. Why does he call them that? Because they ain't got no real business of their own. They don't have sense enough to keep their focus on God, on God's Son, on God's Spirit. Why? Because they are at a point where they have lost focus of Jesus. Look at the word looking, looking. It's a continual process. Looking unto Jesus. Doesn't say look continuously to anything or anybody else save Jesus. One of the reasons why, and I want to suggest to you so that you'll understand the power and the point of this verse, is that Jesus is our supreme example. If you're taking notes, note one, supreme example. looking unto Jesus, who is our supreme example. Well, it says he's the author and finisher of our faith. The New English Translation says he's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. What it literally means is he is the first one, the supreme one, who has set the example of faith. Not only did he set it, but he himself finished it and raised the limit and the bar as high as it could go. So if there is any true example of faith, if there is any true example of a real leader, if there is any true example of one we should follow and continuously look unto, it is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now the question becomes, is he the author and finisher of your faith? Because he's only talking to those who he is the author and finisher, or the pioneer and perfecter of their faith. See, you got to know, just because you're a member of Greater King David don't mean he's the author and finisher of your faith. See, you're a member of Greater King David, but that don't mean that you are a member of the family of faith. It doesn't mean that you're a believer. It means you're a church member on Greater King David's roll. The danger of that is that people who see you mixed with people of faith get the wrong impression about who you are because of who you're looking at.
That's right. That's right.
How you're acting, how you are conducting yourself, who you say you are, what you say you are. And it is nothing like Jesus, the author, the one who shows us every example of how we should walk, how we should talk, how we should live, how we should do everything that is necessary on earth to represent God in heaven. Jesus is the supreme example. People lie on you, talk about you. Jesus is the supreme example. How to handle those kind of folk. If they hate you, Jesus is your supreme example. He said they hated me before they hated you. If they slap you on the one cheek, he say, turn to the other. He the supreme example. If they take your coat, he say, give them the cloak. He's the supreme example. Everything you need to know how to conduct yourself, how to live, how to walk, how to talk, how to act, how to be and to become, Jesus is our supreme example. So we should never ever lose sight of our direction. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We should never find ourselves at a place where we don't understand what we're here for. Jesus say, I do always those things which please my Father. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can. I'm not here for my own pleasure and purpose. I'm here to do the will of God. Jesus ordained 70 men, sent them out two by two to witness to the power and his anointing and to do ministry work in his name. And in the 6th chapter of John, they came back one day. Jesus was ministering to the 12 and others, and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. Many of the 70 said, wait, excuse me. Wait a minute, Jesus. We can't do that. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot follow me. And then the Bible says, they turned and walked with him no more. Jesus then turned to the 12. Notice, if I might digress for a moment and remind you what he didn't do. He didn't beg the 70 to stay. He didn't beg the 70 not to go away. Here's the reason why. He realized they were never ever connected to him. They loved the power. They loved the prestige. They loved the performance. But they didn't know the Prince of Peace. And see, a whole lot of folk don't mind being in a place, in a position where they're showing. Yeah, while they are looked upon as great figures, while they hold great positions, while they act like they are somebody big. But when it comes to the work of the Lord and understanding him, they don't have no part of it. And Jesus, listen, wants us to understand, unless we're willing to submit to his word, his will, and his way, we really ain't got nothing to do with him. Many of us are here just for a show, and Jesus don't have time for folk who are faking in the house of the Lord. Jesus turned to the ones he knew were with him and said, "Will you also go away?" Peter said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We've left all to follow you." And so they continued to look at Jesus, to look, to focus on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, he shows us supreme endurance. Point number two, supreme endurance. Look again. For the joy that was set before him. Can I tell you who the joy was? You and me. It was for everyone who would accept him, for everyone who would come into a right relationship with the Father. Listen, we were put before him. The reason he endured Calvary is because he saw a picture of us.
Come on, preacher.
The human side of Jesus, though he was 100% God, 100% man in that flesh, that was a reality that the fleshly part had come up to a point where it did not want to die. It did not want to leave here. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to his heavenly Father and said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And God didn't say nothing. He prayed again, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." God still didn't say nothing. Bible say he prayed a third time. "Oh, my Father." Now listen at what happened. He prayed that prayer a third time, not wanting to die this horrible death, not wanting to die on the cross, nails driven in his hand, in his feet, pierced in his side, thorny crowns on his head. He didn't want to die this death. What made him endure? First thing was, God sent an angel down and strengthened him. And I've shared this with you before. Many times God won't answer your prayer the way you think he ought to answer your prayer, but what he'll do is give you strength to go through what you're asking him to let you pass by. Sometime God will not change your circumstance, your situation, your problem, your sickness, your issues, but what he will do is give you strength to endure. One of the ways that he strengthened Jesus was to show him a picture of you and me. And suddenly, while the flesh wanted to give up, the spirit in him became encouraged and strengthened. And he made it clear to the disciples earlier, what? Is it not for this hour that I came? And when he was strengthened, he was so encouraged by what would happen after he endured Calvary that he pressed his way through and endured. My brothers and sisters, what a supreme example of endurance. The next time you feel like you can't make it, look to Jesus. The next time you've got something on you too hard for you to bear and don't know how to share, look to Jesus. The next time you say, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Look to Jesus. The next time men hang you up on a cross, lie on you, talk about you, say every damnable thing about you, tear you down, hang you and rail you, look to Jesus. Every time men do those horrible things, look to Jesus and he'll tell you, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Whenever you're having a hard time making it through another day, look to Jesus. And he'll help you to endure. Don't keep your mind on people. Keep your mind. One of the best ways to give up, throw in the towel, let it go, turn around, is to put your eyes on man. Oh, how many times have I been discouraged right in church? Look at some of the mean and most hateful faces of folk who call themselves saints. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about glory. I'm talking about Jesus, and they're frowned up like they've got some issues with them, like they're the only one who have had problems in this world, when the Lord God has blessed them and kept them, never left them, and they can't even give him praise. Yeah. Can't even lift his name. Can't even give him glory. Yeah. And I've had to look past those faces and see the goodness of the Lord and encourage myself and say to myself, God, I thank you that you're the only one who can answer my prayers and lead me to higher heights. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, Jeremiah had to be told by the Lord, don't look at their faces. And then he had to remind him, if you happen to look at them and they look mean and ugly, I made your head harder and stronger than their heads. So any day they want to butt heads, I can tell you they will lose. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the pioneer, the finisher, listen, the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that takes us through everything we go through to increase our faith from faith to faith. That's why no longer do I complain about what I have to go through, because I know what he's doing is building my faith. No longer do I worry about my enemies, my naysayers, the liars, and the rest of those folk, because I know through all of them, he's perfecting my faith. No longer do I worry about those who say what I can't do when God has already told me what I can do. I look to him and not to them, because he's perfecting my faith. And when I know what he's doing in me, it doesn't matter what others are trying to do to me. Because he is the greatest example of endurance. But then I want you to know something else. I want you to know something else. That after he endured the cross and despised the shame, he is set down on the right hand, at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is the supreme encouragement, that after all that was done to him, he made it.
Yes.
He won.
Yes.
He was the victor. The encouragement is, I don't care what you're going through, dealing with, what you have to go through, you need to understand that Jesus has shown us that in the end we win if we keep our focus on him. You have got to keep your focus on Jesus and watch him encourage you to the end. He shows you what the end is going to be like. He gives you an example of how you're going to come through, overcome, be the victor, not the victim. If you keep your focus on Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, verse 3 says, for consider him who endured such, listen, contradiction of the sinners. Listen, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Last thing I want to tell you is that the battle is in your mind. And if you don't believe it, consider Jesus, who endured such contradiction of sinners. They said he wasn't the one. If you be the Son of God, come down off the cross that you mean. If I be, I am he. That's right. You saved others, now save yourself. That's not my mission. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, if you really want to succeed in life, know that that battle takes place in the mind. See, you're either going to be conformed or you're going to be transformed in your mind. See, that's where the enemy beats you. Before you do anything, he has won in your mind. If he makes you think you're a loser before you ever take one step on the playing field, you've already lost. Look at Israel talking about, we look like grasshoppers in our own sights against the giants. Well, how many of you know that if God is for the grasshoppers, then that's going to win the game that day, the grasshopper over the giants? Somebody don't believe that. That's why you're clapping like that. Listen, you got to know what God says. You got to know that if he says you're a winner, you are a winner regardless of how you feel. So what you do is you begin to take his word, speak his word, convince your mind that God is right and you are wrong if it's saying anything other than what God says. And sometimes you've got to make it clear to yourself, self, I said you are the winner. I'm sick and tired of this whining and crying. You are the victor. Now that's enough. Wipe the tears from your eyes. Get up out of the dust. Shake yourself off and act like you are who God says you are. You are a winner. Yes, you might.